This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. If I were to ask you, what is your purpose in life? What would you say? Do you know what your purpose in life is? You see, your purpose in life will control how you live your life. A few years ago, on a TV program, there was a bodybuilder was the guest. And he came on the stage and, you know, he flexed his muscles. And the crowd went wild because he had bulges here and bulges there, everywhere a muscle is supposed to be. And finally he sat down and the host said, "Man, that's really wonderful, but tell me something. What do you use those muscles for?" The bodybuilder didn't say anything. He just stood up again and went. And the crowd went wild. And he sat down. And the host said again, "That's wonderful. But still, tell me, what do you use those muscles for?" And finally, the man just had to sit there and didn't have a word to say, because he had spent all of his time and effort and energy building up those muscles, but he did not have a purpose. There was no purpose to it. And if you are spending all of your time and energy building up something in your life, but there is no purpose, guess what? It's useless. So what is your purpose in life? What we are finding in this series is that you can only live the abundant life if you are functioning according to the purpose for which God made you. Do you know that God made you for a purpose? He has a purpose in your life. Let's do a little review of what we did last week. I'll go over to Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. God has created each one of us for a purpose, a definite and specific purpose that He has for our lives. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Look at this. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You see, God, before you were ever born, had already set in place a purpose for your life that He wants you to fulfill. And He says, "I have specific and definite good works that you are to accomplish in life." We looked last week at the greatest example of that in the scripture. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 1. Look at verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1, 5, Old Testament. Jeremiah knew that even as a young man, God's hand was upon him. Look at this, Jeremiah 1, 5. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations." Do you see how this thing works? Before Jeremiah was ever conceived, God had a plan for his life. God had a purpose that to be fulfilled by his life. And guess what? God has a purpose for your life. God has a destiny that He wants to be fulfilled in your life. When you function in your life according to God's purpose for you, two things are going to happen. Number one, the kingdom of God is going to be built. God appointed Jeremiah a prophet to build up the kingdom of God, to bring people to righteousness, to bring people to Him. And so the kingdom will be built when you are operating according to purpose. But here's the second thing that happens. You will be fulfilled. Amen? Amen. That's what gives meaning to your life. Has anybody here ever discovered yet that making money will not give meaning to your life? How many of you have discovered that yet? Some of you are saying, "If I could just make a little money, I'd find out." Amen? Making money, it will not give meaning to your life. Some of the most famous people who have committed suicide have been billionaires. Amen? Amen. You see, they didn't have purpose in their life. And so if you want to have the abundant life, the starting point is you've got to have purpose. And you know what the wonderful thing about purpose is? When you are operating according to purpose, you can handle anything. You can handle anything. You can handle adversity when you are going through that adversity in order to fulfill a purpose. Go over to Matthew chapter 5. Look at verses 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. When you are operating according to a high purpose, even when you are subjected to all kinds of persecution, you can handle it. Look at this. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Do you see it? When you are operating according to God's purpose for your life, even when people come against you, even when people get on you, even when things don't go the way you want them to go, you can still operate in joy because you've got purpose. I shared this with you before. When I was playing football in high school, I had a lot of mess happen to me. I had my fingernail ripped off. I got popped in the mouth, cracked a tooth, eventually had to have a root canal. And finally, of course, they took this knee out. Amen. All of that from playing football. But was I sad? No. You know, I remember one time when that fingernail had been ripped off, I'd be walking around with my fingernail off. And you know how it is. You kind of put it out so people can see it, you know. Fingernail is gone. What happened to your fingernail, Ron? Happened while I was playing football. Oh, all right. What was going on? How many of you know it hurts when your fingernail comes off? Amen? Hurts when your fingernail. But guess what? It didn't bother me because I said this happened while I was fulfilling my purpose. I was going to be a great football player. Hallelujah. So because it happened while I was fulfilling purpose, I was cool with it. Now, on the other hand, there was a time when I was a child that my mom asked me to hold open the car door for her. And so I was holding open the car door from the inside. And I learned something from this. I never did this again in my life. And she forgot that my hand was there. And she slammed the door on my hand. Ooh. Now, guess what? There was no purpose in that. You want to talk about a young man crying, amen. You see, it makes a difference when you know that you are functioning according to a high purpose. You can take it. You can deal with the adversities of life. Understand this. You will never be truly happy until you know that you are fulfilling God's purpose for your life. That's why I'm not an engineer any longer. You all know my background. Went to school for electrical engineering, working on computers and other types of machines. And I love that stuff. I mean, I still do it. I shared with Priscilla this morning. When I should have been finishing my sermon last night, I just thought about a programming problem. And I sat there for a couple of hours working on this programming problem. Instead of finishing up my sermon. So I didn't get any sleep. Amen. You know, so I still love that stuff. But guess what? There came a point in my life when God said, that's not my purpose for you anymore. And you know what will happen when you are not operating according to God's purpose for your life? You will be miserable. I started being miserable. I was sitting there at my desk at IBM, miserable. And God finally began to get through to me, this is no longer the place that I have for you to be. And so I had to walk away from that. I had to come here and become a pastor, start doing what God called me to do. God called me to preach and teach His word. And guess what that means? Even though I still love to get in front of a computer, that will not fulfill my life. Let me tell you something. If I ever saw a crime, and I was a witness, and they were going to put me in the witness protection program, the mob would have no trouble finding me. Because after a couple of years, all they'd have to do is go around to the churches and they would know someplace Ron Franklin's going to be teaching the word of God because he can't get away from it. You see, that's God's purpose for my life. And the only way that I can be fulfilled in life is to live according to purpose. Now, you may be saying, that's great for you, Pastor, but I don't know what God's purpose for my life is, so what am I supposed to do? Well, let me tell you what you're supposed to do. Go over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 16. Because here's the deal. You know more of God's purpose for your life than you know you know. Philippians chapter 3, verse 16. Here's the key to operating according to God's purpose in your life right now. Philippians 3:16. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Now, what does that mean? Here it is. What God has already shown you he wants in your life, if you will do that, then he will take you to the next step. Do what God has already shown you is his purpose for your life. Don't worry about, do I understand the whole plan? No, you don't. I don't understand the whole plan for my life. But guess what? I know what God wants me doing right now. Amen? Do you know something? Suppose you are a wife. What do you think your purpose might be if you're married and you're a wife? Let me give you a hint. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. What is your purpose? What's the purpose that God has for you as a wife? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Do you know, wife, what God's purpose for you is? That you be a submissive, supportive helpmeet to your husband. That's God's purpose in life. Now, you don't know all of God's purpose in your life yet, but you know that much. Amen? And so, if you are going to function according to God's purpose, what do you need to be doing? You need to be that submissive, that supportive, that wife who is lifting up her husband. That is God's purpose. What if you're a husband? What's God's purpose for your life? You're in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Husbands, do what? Love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church. And what did he do? He gave himself for. In other words, what did he do? He sacrificed himself on the cross for us, his church. Isn't that right? Now, ladies, when the scripture says that you are to submit to your husband, you know what I believe? I think you got the easy part. Now, I know I may have to convince you of that. I think you got the easy part. Because all you got to do is respect that man and submit to that man. And don't look at me and say, but you don't know my husband. God knows. Amen. But catch it. What's a husband called upon to do? He is called upon to sacrificially love his wife to the point of laying down his life for her. And as I always talk about, you know, men, we got this idea. Hey, if it comes time for me to take a bullet for my wife, I'm a man. I'll do it. Amen? I didn't hear no amens on that. But we got this macho idea. I can handle it. Somebody comes up in my face, going to molest my wife, I'm a man. I'll deal with it. But you know what the real test of this is? It's not when that happens, because for most of us, it's never going to happen. Amen? And praise God for that. Praise God for that. You know when it happens? It's the time when you're sitting down in front of your TV set, you are enjoying the game, you got your lemonade by your side and a bowl of popcorn, and she comes and says, I need you to run to the store for me. And what do you say? Honey, I'll die for you, but if you want to go to the store, you just have to go because I'm watching the game. Is that what you say? No. Laying down your life is a day-by-day thing. Amen? Giving up what it is that you would desire in order to bless her. And so you know as a husband what your purpose is, to live a life of sacrificial love for your mate. What if you're a child? What's God's purpose for you? Kids, listen up. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Here's what God expects of children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. God's purpose for children is that they be obedient to their parents. Parents, let me ask this question. How many of you are always right in the way you handle your kids? I had one hand over there that I will ignore. How many of you are always right in the way you handle your kids? No. Do parents make mistakes? Do parents mess up? Absolutely. See, I don't even have to ask the kids. They already know that. Isn't that right? But what Scripture asks, in fact, what Scripture commands is that a child be obedient to his parents, even though the parents will not be perfect. A disobedient child is a rebellious child, even if the parent was not 100% right. That's God's purpose. So you see, in whatever situation you are in life, you know enough of God's purpose to be operating according to that purpose right now. And that's just like what happened to me. I never intended to be a minister. Did not cross my mind. I grew up working with electronics, and from almost, you know, the time I was a little kid, I had it in my mind, I'm going to be an electrical engineer. That was my goal. But you know, I went out to Colorado's. IBM sent me out there to work. And as I was out there, I went to church. That was my mistake. Went to church and God got a hold of me. Amen. And I started being there in church and I started going to Bible study. And oh, you know, we would do Bible study so that everybody got an opportunity to teach sometime. And I said, oh, you know, this is pretty good. I like teaching the Bible. And so I started teaching the Bible. They got me involved in Sunday school. And I became a Sunday school teacher. Eventually, I became the Sunday school superintendent. Eventually, they made me a deacon. Man, you know. And finally, I said, look, I've got to the point where I need some more training so that I can do a better job of teaching. And so I went off to seminary to learn more of the Word of God and how to teach it. Now, understand, I did not have that plan from the beginning. That was not what I intended. But you know what happened? Every step of the way, I just tried to do what God was telling me to do right then. And even when I graduated from seminary, I did not have any plan to start a church. I was just going to be somewhere and teach the Bible. Amen? And step by step by step, God brought me to the place where he said, Ron, it's time for you to leave the secular world and come and plant a church. And how did I get here? By being obedient at every step to what I could see then. I didn't know the whole plan. And you don't know the whole plan for your life. But if you will be obedient to God's purpose that has been revealed to you right now, you will get to where you need to be. I need to tell you something, though. The devil will do everything in his power to distract you from operating according to God's purpose. Amen? I asked this last week, and let me ask it again. How many of you have some kind of issue going on in your life right now that is a real concern? Amen. Amen. We all have issues, isn't that right? And do you know what the devil's plan is? what his strategy is? To keep us so focused on whatever the issues are that we are having to deal with that we are distracted from operating according to God's plan. You got family problems. The devil wants you so wrapped up in your family problems that you forget that God has a purpose for your life that has nothing to do with that particular problem that's happening, except, as we're going to find out, he wants you to glorify him in the midst of that problem. Or you go down to your job and they're talking about layoffs, and the devil wants you to be so wrapped up in, am I going to lose my job? Where am I going to get another job? Where am I going from here? That you forget that God has a purpose for you right here, right now. Even while you're on that job, he still has a purpose that he wants you to be fulfilling. The devil wants to keep you distracted. December 29th, 1972. Eastern Airlines flight 401 took off from New York, headed to Miami. And when they got over Miami, they put down the landing gear to get ready to land. And as they lowered the landing gear, there's supposed to be lights that come on to tell you that each one of the landing gear wheels has gotten down. And the light that was supposed to tell them that the nose wheel was down in its proper position did not come on. And so the crew was saying, no, what's going on here? Is our nose wheel down, or is it maybe that the light just burned out? So what they did was they started trying to fiddle with the light, and they couldn't get it to come on. Finally, they said, let's replace it. So they tried to take the light out to replace it, and that light wouldn't budge. You know, they're there, and so the flight engineer is trying to get it out. He couldn't get it out. Co-pilot tried to get it out. He couldn't get it out. The pilot tried to get it out. He couldn't get it out. So they're trying to figure out what's going on. Is the light out, or is the nose wheel okay? And while they're doing all of this, the plane was getting lower and lower and lower, and finally it flew straight down into the ground. You see, they got distracted over a 75-cent light bulb and this Lockheed L-1011 jumbo jet with 162 people on board flew into the ground, and 98 people died, including that flight crew, because they were distracted from fulfilling their purpose, which was to fly the airplane. That's what the devil wants to do in your life. He wants to get you so distracted about some little thing that's happening in your life. It doesn't seem little to you. It seems big. You know, oh man, we got to make sure this light bulb is right. And while you are fiddling around with that situation, your life crashes into the ground. You see, we got to keep our focus on God's purpose for our life. Because let me tell you something. If we allow ourselves to focus on our issues instead of on God's purpose, number one, we will miss out on God's plan of blessing for our life. And we won't even get our issues taken care of, let alone being able to fulfill the purpose of God. Last week we looked at Matthew 6:33. But seek you first, what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, everything you need, will be added to you. You see, when we operate according to God's purpose, he will give us everything we need. I have had people several times come to me and invite me to one of these little lunch meetings or breakfast meetings. And you know, the person invites you as a friend and you go. And then he says, I want to tell you about Amway. Yeah, any of you ever been to one of those? Amen. And I remember one time when I was still working, but I was headed toward planning this church. And one of my coworkers wanted to talk to me about being an Amway distributor. And so he invited me and we sat down and we talked and he explained the whole thing. And you know what I told him? Look, that sounds very good, but that will be contrary to my purpose. I can't do that. And the man had a hard time understanding this. I mean, he's saying, well, you can do your church and do this. No, that's not the point. The point is this. When I go to call on somebody, I want them to know I'm coming in the name of Jesus and not in the name of Amway. See, that would be a conflict of interest with my purpose, which is to win people for Jesus Christ. Amen? So let me just tell you right now, you can know. If I call you into my office, if I call you on the phone, or if I come to your door, I will not be selling you anything except Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, you have to keep your purpose straight and not allow the devil to distract you onto something else. Well, what is our purpose? What is our ultimate purpose? Go over to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. This is our text passage for today. Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What is God's major purpose for every one of his children? To glorify him. That people will see your life and give glory to God for what they see in you. What Jesus is telling us is that wherever we go, we are supposed to be the light. We are supposed to be the representative of Jesus Christ wherever we are. We are supposed to shine forth his light wherever we are. How many of you have somebody at work that you don't like or that doesn't like you? I'm just curious. Anybody? Okay, got quite a few. Amen. When you see that person tomorrow, what's your purpose? You know what your purpose is? You are light. You're the light of the world. You're the representative of Jesus Christ. Catch it. Understand it. Get it. When you go to work and that person that doesn't like you sees you coming, you know what they need to see? Not somebody that doesn't like them, but what? They need to see Jesus. They need to see the light. Amen? We are the light of the world. Jesus says the number one thing in our lives needs to be God's purpose for our lives. The devil will bring us distractions. He will try to bring us issues and concerns. He will try to bring people into our lives who will get us off of our purpose. But if we want to have the abundant life, we need to see ourselves as the light of the world. And wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we need to shine for Jesus.